Okay, so we live in a society where it's sort of all about me, right? You know, selfies, social media, all those likes that you get. Are we building a society of narcissists? And are we just overusing the term narcissism? Today, we learn more about narcissism. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More, where each episode we bring you a new story about people, inventions, pop cultures, and life. A couple of weeks ago, I did this podcast on dating, online dating. And, you know, it's a subject that's very strange to me. I've never done it. I've, you know, been married since before all that stuff really started. So I don't do that. And I learned all kinds of stuff. And then I was looking at some of these, you know, research papers that they put together, and we had a conversation offline. And then I started to like see little trends here. It's funny to hear that when somebody breaks up, the other person is always a narcissist. I don't think that's possible. I don't think that there's that many narcissists in the world. So it caused me to think, well, you know what? Maybe I should do a podcast and learn more about narcissism. So that is why I am joined by Dr. Layla Ansari. She's a clinical psychologist. She's joined us before. Thank you, Layla, for joining me today.
Hi, Russ. It's always fun to be here.
Oh, it's great talking to you again. And it's great to have you back on a topic like this, because I do feel like everybody says that their ex is a narcissist, or when they're upset at somebody, oh, they're a narcissist. Okay, let's start at the beginning here. What is narcissism?
Well, we could do so many podcasts on narcissism because it's a huge topic. There's a lot to talk about. I will focus it in a little bit. So basically, narcissism in itself is just an exaggerated sense of self. Right? Like you would expect. It's an excessive interest in yourself or your own importance. Now, that's not necessarily a good or bad thing. In kids, in children and adolescents, it's important. It's an important part of development. And narcissism, to some extent, is, you know, it's important for people to have self-focus, self-interest, right? I mean, we can't be just completely not thinking about ourselves. So in some ways, it's just an important part of life. When you get into trouble is when it starts to affect people around you, your work life, your social life. You're experiencing possibly some distress about it. There is another step to narcissism where it becomes, it enters the world of pathology.
So you're kind of leaving like the self-love and confidence and getting into something that's actually trouble.
Self-love and confidence.
A trouble area, I guess.
Confidence, self-love, great, great to have. But when you start to have the symptoms I'm about to talk about, you're entering a personality disorder. You're entering narcissistic personality disorder. That's when you come into my world, the DSM diagnoses. That's
okay.
Right. My world. In order to have a diagnosis of NPD, you will have to have a number of symptoms. First of all, you have to have a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, that need for admiration, a lack of empathy. And this has to start in early adulthood. Okay. So you have to have at least that. And then five or more of the following symptoms: grandiose self-importance, preoccupation with fantasies of like unlimited power, success, or brilliance, belief that you are unique and special. You require excessive admiration. You have a sense of entitlement. You may exploit or take advantage of others. You lack empathy. You're envious of others or think everyone is envious of you. And you are arrogant or have arrogant, haughty behavior, I should say. Really, if you hit five or more of those symptoms, you're in narcissistic personality disorder. You would get a diagnosis of that.
What's the difference between narcissism and narcissistic personality disorder. I would think that would be the same thing, but I'm not a doctor.
Well, it's more extreme, more intense. It lasts longer and it's pervasive in all the areas of your life and more frequent. It occurs more frequently. You might show narcissistic traits with one person or in one setting. Well, you're more likely when it's pathological to show in every area of your life or multiple areas of your life. We don't really know truly what causes personality disorders. We don't really know. For NPD, we consider genetics, the structure of the brain. There are some differences we found. And environment plays a key role. The experiences we have in childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Like excessive praise by your parents or excessive criticism. So either end of that spectrum there.
Interesting.
Lack of parental empathy also is a big factor. Emphasis on achievement or success, emotional abuse or neglect, inconsistent parenting. All these can play a part in the environment that a child grows up in that can contribute to narcissistic personality disorder.
So since we're talking about symptoms, I should probably say that what we're talking about today is for education, entertainment purposes, not intended to substitute for clinical care.
Correct. We're not diagnosing anybody.
Exactly. Right. And, so I don't want to turn into the WebMD here where everybody's listening to this and starts to freak out. Oh, I've got that. Because everything on WebMD I have. So I don't go to that site anymore.
Right. Yeah. So you got to be careful with that.
I don't want to scare people.
No, we just want to show how it's different from just being narcissistic at some points in your life or just narcissism that a person can have that isn't a diagnosable disorder, that isn't pathological.
Let's talk about there's different types of narcissists.
Yes, indeed. There are four
types.
So what
are those types? Four types.
I can go through them quickly and you'll recognize, you'll probably recognize a few of these. So I'll say the first is grandiose, which is like your classic type of narcissism, which is they love the limelight. They're charming. They're attention seeking. They can definitely be obnoxious and aggressive. They're self-absorbed and they can exploit others. That's the classic.
Right.
And then you have vulnerable narcissism or covert is what we call that. It's very similar to grandiose. It's many similar components, but the person really fears criticism and they may even shy away from attention. They may shy away from attention. They may present as very unhappy with their lives. Hmm. An example would be somebody who's really, really focused on the bad things happening in their lives. And you might hear them say, well, it never works out for me, of course, because that's just the way it is for me. Nobody sees how unique and special I am. So it's a little different of a presentation.
Gotcha. Right?
The third type is the communal narcissist. Again, similar traits, but they want to be seen as the philanthropist, the most helpful to other people. You'll see a lot of attention-seeking behavior around what I've done for the community, what I've done for cancer research, just as examples, where they're getting a lot of attention. People are calling them out or giving them awards for something. They're not particularly nice to the other people they work with or once the attention is they're not getting a lot of praise, right? And then the fourth type is malignant. And this is arguably the most extreme or the most dangerous, I would say. It's definitely an extreme presentation. They are aggressive. Paranoid. They can be cruel and sadistic. They really like to take people down and watch people kind of suffer. Mm. Really, this kind of narcissism is closely related to the psychopath, but I'm not going to get into psychopathy today.
Yeah, and that's a whole other podcast.
It's a whole other thing. Exactly. It's a whole other thing.
Well, okay. Now, I know I said we're not, trying to diagnose anybody or we're not talking about any specific people in this podcast. However, when you do those descriptions, I start to think of people, be they celebrities, politicians, people I know.
Sure.
There's people in our lives that we come across that definitely show some sort of narcissistic behavior. Yeah. Now, we don't want to diagnose this. We can't diagnose them. I mean, you can't. We can't. So how do we deal with people that are similar to, like, you know, those types of things that you described? How do we deal with that?
Well, you're right. I definitely can't diagnose anyone without meeting them.
Right.
But it won't surprise you that there are a lot of narcissistic people in the world and in our lives. And we probably know one or two. You're probably thinking of a few right now that you suspect might have some narcissism issues.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if this person is a coworker or a friend, your boss, someone in your extended family. A lot of the suggestions, the interventions I'm going to recommend are the same across all these areas.
Okay.
So it's important to understand who they are. You have to accept that this person is a narcissist. You cannot change them unless they want to change, which many narcissists do not. That's who they are. And so having an expectation, you'll fix them, you'll help them, they'll be different if you explain something to them, it's unlikely. So important for you to understand, like, what is your expectation of them? How realistic is your expectation? And to accept that this is the way those people are going to be. When you're talking with a narcissist, don't give too much personal and vulnerable information away about yourself.
Interesting. Why is that?
Because often they will use it against you.
I could see thinking about some of the people that you described or the
that you might have in your mind right now.
Right.
You could see how that would happen, right? Yeah.
Right.
So don't engage too much on that level. Keep it light. Just talk about benign subjects, right? Because you imagine if you're at work and you have a narcissistic boss who's perhaps more on the malignant side, you don't want to share too much that they can use against you when they're in a position of authority.
Right.
So this sounds a little strange, but gaslighting is a big part of the narcissist's world. The reality is what they make of it. And if you try to point out that they said or did a certain thing that shows they're lying, they just kind of get around it. They either ignore you or they move on to something else.
Gotcha.
Explaining yourself or defending yourself, you're just giving them more ammunition. You're not going to get anywhere.
When you first meet somebody, how do you know not to give them information or to set those boundaries?
Right.
Like, how do you do that?
So you don't have to diagnose them with a narcissistic personality disorder to recognize narcissism in your life. I mean, your eyes lit up when I started to talk about the types of narcissists, because I imagine you were imagining some people in your world, right? So we trust your gut. You know, we all should trust our gut a little more. It's true. It may not be the first moment you meet them, but you can see when a person is starting to cross your boundaries and feeling like you can't trust them with certain things.
Right. I think it's the key information there too, is to trust your gut.
Yeah.
And trust your instincts on what, you know, when you meet somebody and just, you know, like you don't have to put up like walls around you.
Sure.
It's there for a reason. Those feelings that you're feeling.
When you meet these folks. Not scientific. I realize that, you know, maybe I'll get called out for that, but it's a real thing that, especially when it comes to other people, we have as a resource.
Well, I did read an article recently, and this research found that they are more likely to be aggressive and violent. Mm. So I'm going to talk with the PhD student that actually did that research in just a little bit. But what's your take on that and narcissism and aggressiveness and violence?
You know, when I think about, again, this is not specifically my area of expertise, but looking at the types of narcissists and some of the personality traits that they may have, I would think with the malignant narcissists, that makes sense, right? Because overall, the narcissists, these four types, have aggression. They are more aggressive. That is clear. With a malignant narcissist, I definitely could see how that would be possible because they're so extreme and they are cruel. They really kind of like to tear people down, right? And so I could see with those sadistic paranoid tendencies, they would be. That's very possible. Mm-hmm. I could see that. But it's not particularly my area of interest. Area of specialty is adult children of borderline and narcissistic personality disordered parents.
Oh, gotcha. So
you would not believe how many people struggle with boundary issues, communication, assertiveness issues, because of the way they grew up with personality disorder parents.
So we're going to delve into the research on this about narcissism and aggression and violence. We'll do that in a minute. But first, I got to thank you, Layla, for joining me again, Dr. Layla Ansari. You've got a new website as well at drlaylaansari.com.
That's right, drlaylaansari.com, which I'm not going to spell for you right now on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the description.
But yeah. They can read that.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Just go to the description, click the link there, and you'll be able to get over to Layla's website.
It's always fun, Russ. And hope that wasn't overwhelming. There's a ton of information about narcissism, and we just kind of scratched the surface.
Yeah. Well, when I told my wife, I always tell her the podcast topics that I'm going to do. I said, oh, I'm going to call, Layla again. I'm going to have her on, and we're going to talk about narcissism. She's like, oh, are you doing a series? Because that is a big topic.
You are not kidding. A ton of information. I probably gave a little too much, but there's much more to delve into. So it's really fun. Thanks again, Russ.
And we've got much more to delve into when we come back. We will be talking with Sophie Shadvik. She is a PhD student in communication at Ohio State University, and she co-authored an article that's on The Conversation. It's Narcissistic People Aren't Just Full of Themselves. New research finds that they're more likely to be aggressive and violent. We'll delve into that article and that research when we come back. If you enjoy history, maybe you're just feeling a little nostalgic, or you wonder who's having a birthday today, or maybe you need a reason to celebrate. Well, we've got the perfect podcast for you. It is called This Is Today. And each and every day, we talk about the historic events, celebrity birthdays. We also talk about whatever is going on today. There's always something to celebrate when you listen to This Is Today. And at just 10 minutes each day, you can make it a daily habit. You can even add it to your Alexa Flash briefing. Click the link in the description or just search in your favorite podcast app for This Is Today. So today we are talking about narcissism. We're learning more about this topic from Sophie Shadvik, a PhD student in communication at Ohio State University. Sophie, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Your research, you've gone deep into one particular aspect of narcissism and where it could lead. Can you tell us a little about the research that you've done?
Yeah. So me and my advisor, Dr. Brad Bushman, we looked at the link between narcissism and aggression. And we found that narcissism, as a personality trait, but also as a pathological disorder, is linked to an increase in aggression and more severe forms of aggression, such as violence.
I would guess then provoking a narcissist or somebody that you think is a narcissist is probably not a great thing to do.
Yeah, because they have a big ego. And if you tell them that they're not as cool or as amazing as they think they are, they tend to lash out in aggressive manners.
So provoking somebody could be simple as not inviting them somewhere or like giving them a bad grade on a test, something along those lines. That is also what they may deem as provoking them.
So they get provoked by only just being excluded from a group project or receiving a bad evaluation on, for example, an essay they've written.
So this makes it difficult in many ways to communicate with somebody that's a narcissist. And I see in your title, we've got PhD student in communication. So let's get into the communication aspect of this a little bit. If I feel, let's say I feel that somebody is a narcissist, what's my best way of communicating with them? What should I be doing and what should I not be doing?
I would say avoid threatening them or otherwise like humiliating them in any way. Step lightly and kind of be on their good side to avoid their aggressive aspect.
Gotcha. And, you know, I mean, it's always weird to me too, that, you know, like we've got to change our behavior to adjust for somebody else, which is just, I guess, knowing your audience, knowing who you're talking to, knowing, you know, but it seems because of your research and because of the potential for aggressive behavior, we kind of should handle these people with sort of kid gloves in a way.
I think it's hard to say that you should treat them with kid gloves, but for your own best and based on the strong link between narcissism and aggression, and that people with high levels of narcissism tend to be more aggressive, I would try to treat them with more kid gloves.
Is social media and the rise of sort of this personal brand image that certain people are trying to push out, is that causing a rise in narcissism?
Well, some studies show that they do. Some studies are saying that posting a lot of selfies on social media is correlated or associated with more narcissism. And so I would also think, as a researcher, but also as a normal human being, that if you're getting a lot of attention, you're posting pictures of yourself online and you're getting hearts, you're getting comments saying that, oh, you're so beautiful, you're on fire, then I would think that that's related to an increase in narcissism.
If we look at the relationship between narcissism and aggression, what do you see as a fix for that? How do we kind of solve that?
Well, I think a lot of it starts with childcare. So teaching people more about empathy and teaching parents not to overpraise their kids, or other people in children's close surroundings not to overpraise. But also, if there is this extreme link that some studies show between narcissism and social media, I would also suggest using less social media to promote yourself. And having less of this focus on me, myself, and I on social media, and focus more on important social interactions and, yes, empathy.
I found you because of your article on The Conversation. And what I love about that site is it does link to your research and some of the other information that you've put together on this. So I'll put a link to that article in the description of the podcast so that people can go check that out and learn a little more about the topic. Thank you so much for joining me today and helping us learn more about narcissism and aggression.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
All right. Thank you to both of my guests for joining me today. Now, would it be narcissistic of me to tell you to like the podcast, to subscribe to the podcast, to review and give it maybe like 5 stars. You know what? I'm not going to do that, I guess, for this particular episode. I'll do that next time. But if you have already subscribed or shared or listened to several of the podcasts, I do appreciate it. And I thank you so much for just, this is like a passion project of mine, and I love doing it, and I love that you listen. Also, take a listen to our daily podcast. It is called This Is Today, where we talk about the historical events of each day. All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, and we will talk to you next time on Learning More.